Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hey everyone, this is Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. Today's episode is sponsored by Wink. That's W-I-N-C, Wink. Before we jump in, as always, I'm joined in the studio with my amazing, awesome, fantastic producer, Barry Finkel.
Oh my God, Matt, that was so nice of you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, don't get used to it.
Okay.
Listeners, did you know that you have the unique, exclusive opportunity, the honor, to see me and this mysterious producer, Barry Finkel, live on stage? Well, we'll be performing and celebrating me and my success as an esteemed author on October 25th at the Green Space in New York City. You can Google it. There's also a link in our show notes for this episode. Make sure you buy tickets, tell your mom, and then have your mom watch the Facebook live stream because we're gonna be streaming it live. So it'll be like a mommy-daughter date where you don't actually have to hang out with your mom. Yeah, you're welcome. You're also welcome for this week's episode, which is jam-packed from tops to bottoms. Mostly bottoms. We'll start off, as always, with worst things first, the most fucked up news of the week. Then we are diving deep into one of the largest threats we have as a society today. Most people won't put a name to it, but I'm standing up in front of everyone and speaking it out loud. Squirrels. We have to face this issue head on, people. After that, we got comedians Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson from the wildly successful anti-slut-shaming podcast, Guys We Fucked. We're going to talk about them, they'll talk to me, and then we'll play a game of Who Would You Rather? So sit back, or up, or lie down on your stomach. I don't know how you like it. You could be on your commute, you could be on the couch. Whichever way, I'm going to give it to you. So let's do this. Let's go. Let's get on with the show. All right, worst things first, the news that makes me want to throw my computer off of a fire escape, which I have done. First up, Harvey Weinstein was fired for being a fucking creep. If you don't know this whole story, it's still unfolding. The New York Times first published a report that has long been an open secret, I guess, in Hollywood, that Harvey Weinstein, who's one of the most powerful guys in Hollywood, his movies collectively have over 300 Academy Award nominations, which is insane. So that's why people are so fucking scared of him. He has been paying off women for decades that have accused him of sexual assault, including all these gross things like coercing them into giving him massages and like making them watch while he showers. So it's all fucked. He's a disgusting piece of shit. He says some of these allegations are false, but also that he's going to therapy to work on them. And also he's suing the New York Times. And then, according to a lawyer who was working with him, he's just a, quote, old dinosaur learning new ways. Which, no, I don't get that argument. In his apology, the first letter was like, I came of age in like the 60s and 70s when this was just how business was done. What? It's not like everybody just suddenly discovered sexual harassment like this year.
No.
Like, it's been bad forever.
Yeah.
So Harvey Weinstein was also a big donor to Democrats. And then there's a lot of conservatives, including fucking junior piece of shit Donald Trump Jr. We're trying to draw that connection and being like, what does Hillary have to say about this? Look in the goddamn mirror, you fucking junior clown. Donald Trump Jr. and the rest of the conservatives were like, oh, we have a sexual predator. Let's make him president of the United States. Let's just give that a shot. So people in houses run by rapists shouldn't throw stones. Next up, Jemele Hill, who is a sports journalist and co-host of SportsCenter on ESPN, was suspended from the network for 2 weeks. She initially got caught up in all this bullshit because she tweeted accurately, I might add, that, quote, Donald Trump is a white supremacist. Fucking Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the White House press secretary, was like, that's a fireable offense, which is like,
not true.
Fucking, yeah, it's not true. Your job as the government spokeswoman to be like, ESPN should fire this person. You know what? Focus on your own goddamn job. Also, your brother murdered a dog.
What?
Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Mike Huckabee is her dad. And his son, like, murdered their dog. If you look at the top reply of any Mike Huckabee tweet,
really?
It's just, your son murdered a dog. I don't want to blame a woman for the problems of the man in her life. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is a piece of shit in her own right. But it should be noted that her family...
It runs in the family.
Her family is insane. After all this flag shit goes down, Jerry Jones, who is the owner and general manager of the Dallas Cowboys, put out a statement that was like, any player that does anything that's, quote, disrespectful to the flag won't get to play, which is just saying, like, you can't have your constitutional right to protest. They're still doing their jobs. So Jemele Hill was tweeting about this, and someone, I think, tweeted at her a bunch of the advertisers for the Dallas Cowboys, and she's tweeted, change happens when advertisers are impacted. If you feel strongly about JJ, aka Jerry Jones' statement, boycott his advertisers. And I guess ESPN was like, that's enough. And they suspended her for 2 weeks. And now fucking Donald Trump is tweeting about her from his, like, bully pulpit, from the official account.
Could you imagine having the president of the United States bullying you on Twitter, like, when you're doing your job? That is just the idea. It's like, it's one thing if it's Donald Trump normally. Anytime Donald Trump is bullying anyone on Twitter before he was president, that's probably scary because he's like a big, scary, wealthy dude. It's the president of the United States who's doing this to you. Your leader is, not that he's my leader, is doing this to you.
Not my leader.
No, like, that's so wrong. It's so wrong. Like, she is a citizen of your country, dude.
She has every right to call you out on your shit.
Yeah.
Being a Democrat or Republican doesn't have an effect on how you fucking comment on a football game. I don't know what sports reporters do. And, like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're outspoken. They're just scared that, I guess, all of their, you know, viewers are going to get angry.
Yeah, it definitely has to do. And she's right. It is about advertisers.
Yeah.
It's about advertisers.
At the end of the day, Jemele Hill has not been wrong yet. Also, speaking of football, real-life heterosexual drone bot Mike Pence, a.k.a. Vice President of the United States, a.k.a. the next president once Donald Trump gets impeached. He went to a football game for like a minute, which is just straight out of the homosexual playbook. Go to a football game for like a minute, dramatically walk out because the players won't do what you want. AKA fuck you, and then make a whole big deal about it on Twitter. That's just, I could have written those rules myself. He walked out because they kneeled during the anthem.
And it means that he's protesting. Do you not realize that you are protesting?
Yeah, that's what, like, protesting is.
You have the right, so do the football players, except that they're protesting something real,
right,
like police brutality, and you're protesting them protesting the flag, which isn't real. That's not a real thing. They're not protesting the flag. So you're just wrong, and you spent so much money on it. How much money, Matt?
He spent, allegedly, like $250,000 just to fly, because the day before he was in Las Vegas, and then the next day or the day after he was supposed to be in L.A. Las Vegas and L.A. are very close. But instead, he flew all the way to Indiana just to stop and do a football game for like a minute. Their official excuse was that he was just going to spend the night in Washington, D.C., and that it was actually more generous of him to stop in Indiana, then they didn't have to go all the way to D.C. Or you could just sleep in a fucking hotel in Las Vegas for a night. Fucking piece of shit. He didn't want to be with his wife. Friendly reminder that Mike Pence calls his wife mother, by the way. He tweeted, I think she was there. He tweeted a photo, but the photo was like three years old.
Yeah.
Just a mess. Just an all-around mess. Go take mother. Go back to your sad little room where you have a shoebox full of twink magazines under your bed and stop terrorizing the rest of us. Next! Police had to be called to at least one McDonald's in Florida. Only in Florida! Because fans of the Adult Swim cartoon Rick and Morty started rioting over the fact that McDonald's ran out of a promotional Szechuan sauce. Szechuan?
Szechuan?
Szechuan.
Szechuan.
There's no reason for any of this to be happening. A, I didn't even know what the fuck Rick and Morty's was until this week. I thought it was a cartoon from, like, when I was a kid that I just never watched. Apparently, it's only, like, 5 years old.
Yeah, people love it. I don't watch it, but I have a lot of friends who love it a lot.
That's fine for them.
Yeah.
So here's the story, if you haven't been following this or haven't heard about it at all. So apparently, in the late 90s, McDonald's had a special limited Szechuan sauce as part of a promotion for Mulan. Back when Mulan was a thing.
That's cute.
And so it was like just a limited time thing. Then Rick of Rick and Morty, the cartoon, I guess there's an episode where he says that he's obsessed with getting some of this Szechuan sauce. So McDonald's announced that they would bring it back for one day, and people went fucking crazy. And that day was last week. But some locations ran out really quickly. Some locations that said they would have it didn't actually have it. People waited, I guess, for like hours. And then when they didn't have it, they started like rioting over a fucking sauce. I looked today, people are selling them on eBay for like $2,000 for a packet. A, not even the best sauce to get upset about. Number one sauce in the world, ranch.
Amen.
Then mayonnaise.
Agreed.
Then barbecue. I will say, when I was a kid, I distinctly remember my mom, when the mini Beanie Babies were at McDonald's, we drove to every McDonald's in the greater Chicagoland area until we got every single one. And then we had Happy Meals for like a month. Anyway, this is why I look like this. It's why I have the body of Grimace, the McDonald's blob. Next up, Republican Senator Bob Corker tweeted that, quote, it's a shame the White House has become an adult daycare center. Someone obviously missed their shift this morning, which is completely accurate. But then Kellyanne Conway, who slithered out from the canoe that she lives under, you know what I call her? Smellyanne Conway.
Nice.
Kellyanne Moronway.
Yeah, okay.
Kellyanne Parmesanway.
I like Parmesan.
Kelly Clan Conway.
Oh!
Political. She got on TV and said that it was irresponsible because, quote, world leaders see that. You know what else they see? You fucking flailing paper bag caught in a tree limb. Your boss's tweets. And that's it for Worst Things First, the stories of the week that made me want to fucking scream. Hold on tight, because next up, we got a deep dive coming for you.
Beady eyes. Nut munchers. Bushy-tailed demons. Fluffy fucks.
deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive.
Deep dive,
deep dive,
deep dive, deep dive.
All right, today's deep dive is going to double as a public service announcement because we are here to talk about one of the biggest threats facing the world today, threatening world peace. What am I talking about? Squirrels. And I know haters are going to say squirrels are nice and you're just pushing anti-squirrel propaganda. And to all the haters, I say nay. Because squirrels have long been a menacing force in this world, and if I don't take a stand, then who will? Are we just going to wait around for the next story to come out about a squirrel that's been terrorizing a neighborhood or a school or an elderly home where none of the residents know where their breakfast oats have been going? No. The time for action is now. So I was reading this article because I was bored earlier in the New York Times from a noted squirrel expert. That's a profession. Someone went to college, spent thousands of dollars on a degree, and now they study squirrels. And I know haters are going to say, why can't someone study squirrels, Matt? Fuck you, that's why. The squirrel expert says all of these things about squirrels. One, they're deceptive. Because when they know that they're being watched, they will actively try to deceive thieves. So if they're digging a hole to bury a nut, they'll dig a hole and then look around and pretend to put the nut in the hole, but actually it'll be in their cheek. And then they'll cover up the hole as if they put it in there. So their would-be thief would be like, oh, now I found it. But guess what? You've been duped by a mischievous squirrel. Oh yeah, first they hide a nut, then they cut the wires to your telephone line. They cut the wires to your cable. The electricity goes out in the middle of the night. Suddenly you get a phone call and it's like, weep, 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 weep. And that translates in squirrelish to the call is coming from inside the house. And then also, finally, on this point, here's a fucked up thing about female squirrels, girl squirrels. During the 1 or 2 days a year that the female is fertile. What?
Wow, that's amazing. I wish we had that kind of birth control.
Yeah, they only period once a year.
That's incredible.
But during that 1 or 2 days a year when the female is fertile, she'll be chased by every male in the vicinity and they all hound her around and around a tree with sneeze-like calls. And guess what? She doesn't even say, God bless you, after they sneeze. So they die. Throughout the years, squirrels have been menacing society, specifically in the past 5 years. So let's go through. Let's go through some of the examples of squirrels destroying society. To start, just this week, more than 4,700 people found themselves without power in Memphis, Tennessee. The University of Memphis president had to cancel classes. You know why? Because a fucking squirrel caused a power outage. A squirrel. And now he's laying there all happy and warm and mangled and electrified while everybody else is wallowing in the darkness. A squirrel in the UK broke into a pub and caused more than $400 in damages during a drunken tirade. Okay, so the squirrel fucking breaks into this pub, he turns on a beer tap, empties an entire barrel of ale onto the floor, knocks glasses and bottles everywhere, tosses beer mats, straws, money, just all over the place. The owner walks in and he at first thinks he's been robbed, but then who pops up out of a, quote, box of crisps, which is London speak for potato chips, a squirrel. The squirrel popped out and he was staggering around, drunk like a skunk. But not a skunk, a squirrel. And they spent a full hour chasing him around, trying to get him out. And eventually they chased him into the men's toilets, as they call them in London. They don't say bathroom, they say he's in the toilets.
And they had to throw him out a window.
They probably didn't have to.
Yeah, they did, because he was being disruptive. I'm just saying, I've been in plenty of men's bathrooms, men's toilets. Nobody's had to throw me out. I go peacefully. And I do $0 of damage. In fact, one time I found $100 in a men's bathroom, and I gave it to charity.
No, you didn't.
But it was at a bar that was a $20 cover for All You Can Drink. So that was pure profit that night. Back in 2012, a squirrel burned down a pastor's house in Florida. Only in Florida. Targeting the religious right. Hashtag Illuminati.
That's Squirrel Illuminati.
Squirrel Illuminati.
Boom.
So according to the Huffington Post, the squirrel jumped from one high voltage line to another, causing an arc of electricity.
That's just badass.
That lit up a nearby bush and spread a fire. Oh, it's so badass that it burned down a pastor's house. I don't understand how maybe it was holding both lines at once and just became like a current, like a conductor.
Yeah, well, maybe he just had like an extra bushy tail.
Either way, he lit the fuck up and burned down a few houses. And then this was a line from the Huffington Post story, quote, squirrels were fingered for three other brush fires in the area in 4 days. And personally, I would just like to say kudos to whatever brave investigators are out in the world fingering squirrels to get to the bottom of the story. I'm just picturing a squirrel like walking away from a pastor's house and it blowing up like James Bond style. Then another squirrel was caught stealing over 150 Christmas lights from a woman's home. She thought it was so funny, she took video of it. I guess the squirrel was mistaking the bulbs for food.
Same.
Because it's a Terminator squirrel. Yeah, imagine a squirrel eating light bulbs. What kind of power does that give him? He goes to sleep that night, wakes up a fucking Power Rangers villain. He could walk all over the neighborhood just fucking shooting Christmas carols out of his face. In Oklahoma, there was a fugitive squirrel who outwitted police for 2 whole weeks, causing hundreds of dollars of damage by chewing the wires of patrol cars. Who taught these squirrels to disable patrol cars? I want to know what other crimes. Apparently, this set off like a huge debate in this town because people were like, our policemen are spending 2 weeks chasing squirrels, using our tax dollars to chase squirrels for 2 weeks. They nicknamed him Chewy the Squirrel, and he was eventually apprehended. That was his street name.
What does that mean? How does a squirrel get apprehended? They killed him, right?
They caught him in a cage, and then apparently from prison, he was like, it wasn't me. I'm a scapegoat. And finally, in perhaps the greatest display of their threatening nature, a squirrel in Florida. Only in Florida! Straight up committed an act of terror on a senior center, sending 3 old people to the hospital. According to the Huffington Post, the squirrel latched onto a person outside of the senior center, and then they got into like a fist fight right outside of the senior center, and in the ensuing scuffle, the person somehow flung the squirrel into the senior center, causing mayhem. There's a 911 call of this incident. We should just roll the tape.
We had a squirrel that entered our building, and it's in our activity room, and it's jumping on people and biting them and scratching them.
How many people were bitten?
At least 3 or 4. Possibly more.
Does anybody there need an ambulance to take them to the hospital?
I don't know if we need to go in an ambulance, but we need some care for people here.
It's just sad.
It's still in there and the people are bleeding.
The
caller eventually tells dispatch everyone was moved to the office and lobby areas for safety.
There is another person in there. The squirrel has been tossed outside, but we need help for the people.
The center reports it is fine, but did not say what it will do to prevent similar attacks in the future. For InsideEdition.com, I'm Kelly Nealon.
I love how this report ends. You need to convene a meeting of the board to talk about immediate action you can take to prevent future squirrel attacks. I didn't realize it bit into a woman's leg.
Ow!
And she couldn't get it off. And walked into the center for help. And then it unlatched and then just started terrorizing everybody. One staff member and two residents were murdered.
What? No, they were not. No one died.
Squirrels are pieces of shit, okay? What other animal preys on the elderly?
All of these facts have not convinced me that they're terrible. I think that they are funny and weird and intelligent.
Funny? You think it's funny?
But what I
that
do
people
think
are dead?
You have made me believe in the Squirrilluminati.
Yeah, the Squirrilluminati is real.
Let's get it trending, guys. Hashtag Squirrilluminati.
Hashtag stop the squirrels. Yeah, also, we haven't even touched the fact that they spread the plague. They spread rabies. They spread adult onset diabetes. The point is, people, we can't just sleep on this. Because if you're like me, a squirrel will break into your house while you're sleeping and steal your Pillsbury Doughboy cookies that you spent all night baking and then leave footprints on your windowsill for you to wake up to in the morning with crumbs all over your kitchen. And then your roommate will be like, Matt, what happened? What did you do last night? How drunk were you? And then you have to be like, it wasn't me. It was the squirrel because he was sitting right outside the windowsill looking in from the fire escape. And now you know the truth. Don't sleep on it. Keep your eyes peeled. Because God knows squirrels don't need sleep. They're awake 100% of the time, just filing their fangs to rip into your skin. And that's this week's deep dive. We'll be back in the studio with Corinne and Christina of Guys We Fucked after this commercial break. I'd like to propose a toast to Wink. That's Wink with a C, the world's first and only personalized wine club.
Mm.
Back in the day when I wanted wine, I would have to walk to a store and get all sweaty and just stare at bottles on bottles and bottles like an idiot. Then I would just pick a wine based on how pretty the label or how cheap the price was, and I'd get home and crack open the bottle and be instantly disappointed. But thanks to Wink, those days are behind me. Now I get unique, delicious bottles of wine sent straight to my door. I can pick them, order them, open them, drink them, all from the comfort of my kimono. Barry and I even drank Wink Rosé in a can this weekend, but not in kimonos because we kept it professional. Plus, Wink has a 100% satisfaction guarantee, so I never pay for a bottle I don't like. And you can join for free. You can skip any month and cancel any time. And right now, Wink is offering listeners $20 off your first order when you go to trywink.com/unhappy. They'll even cover the cost of shipping. That's trywink, spelled trywinc.com/unhappy. You'll get $20 off your first order now, plus complimentary shipping. trywink.com/unhappy. Cheers! I am here with Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson of Guys We Fucked. I had just had like a whiskey moment for a second.
Where you forgot what the fuck you
said. I was like, I was so focused on saying your names right that I was like, God damn it.
I was really impressed because you actually looked at the correct person at saying the name. People we've known for years can't even do that.
Yeah, someone was texting with Corinne for like a couple hours and thought it was me the whole time. So
I did my research. I had flashcards beforehand. So I made sure, yeah. Well, welcome to Unhappy Hour. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having
us. Yay!
So we start off asking everybody, what is one thing you hate that everybody else loves?
Cocaine. So many people love it. I hate it.
It's, yeah.
The first time I ever did it, I took the biggest shit of my life, and then I fell asleep. I was very disappointed.
Is that your answer, too?
No, I've never done cocaine, so I can't make the decision. In fact, I've never done cocaine because I think I would love it. So that's a different kind of problem that I have.
Yeah.
I have so many. Like, I wanted to go with human interaction, but then I think a lot of people do tend to also not like that.
Right.
I mean, huevos rancheros, maybe I'll go with. I think it's fucking disgusting.
I agree.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't
a lot of runny eggs in there.
Also, like, salsa doesn't belong in, like, breakfast
thank
foods.
Thank you.
Disagree.
I had so much negative feedback when I said that one time on Guys We Fucked that you...
Oh,
I
really?
Mean, yeah, I've said... all the crazy
all
things
the controversial
I've said
things.
On the podcast, that was the one that got
that
me the
incites
most heat.
People?
This bitch yeah. hates salsa and eggs.
So I'm really glad that you agree because
I mean,
I was fighting
I'm
by
also,
myself.
I'm also, like, a very white, so it's...
Yeah.
I should
Let's
not have
make
any
it into
opinion.
A racist show.
Just saying, I shouldn't have any opinion on salsa or salsa related foods.
I love
you
salsa,
can.
Just not on eggs.
I hate gummy stuff too. Gummy bears and gummy worms. They make me throw up.
Yeah, it is a gross texture.
Do you just hate everything? Because you seem to be agreeing with all this.
What do you love?
I do. I hate everything.
What do you love that people hate?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
I don't know.
I would just say me as my answer to that.
So you both host the podcast Guys We Fucked. And the full title is Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. No one ever remembers that part.
Well, see, I'm just full of there's so much research went into your names.
I Googled
name
you.
Wow.
Got your faces right.
I feel like we're on 2020. So
yeah. Barbara, tell me more.
So tell us about how everything started. When did you realize, hey, I want to talk about fucking on a podcast?
I like how you tried to say that seriously, like this was like going to be very deep conversation.
Yeah, this is I'm Charlie Rosing both of you.
Well, I mean, it wasn't necessarily, it didn't start as a conversation about fucking, even though it has fucked in the title. It was more a conversation with people who we have fucked and our relationship with them.
Right.
To learn, it was like holding a mirror to ourselves to learn more about ourselves through people we've shared intimate relationships with.
Right.
Yeah. Corinne got dumped by the love of her life in a Panera, but former in a Panera Bread. And then it was like, one of the, like, you know, when someone,
like,
we've like, all.
No, he's still the one.
I'm like, oh, girl, we'll talk about that later. And you see somebody go through, like, a bad, we've all been there, like, a bad breakup that just, like, guts you.
Right.
And then that's, in the midst of that, she texted me. I was like, we should just interview Guys We Fucked. I'm just called Guys We Fucked. And
right.
I was like, yeah, yeah, we should.
But it's like a fun conversation, right?
Yeah.
You're not like...
No, we hate it, Matt. We're not on board.
It's not like, here's like, let's dissect everything that went wrong.
Right.
It's
no,
not like a post-op.
That's why we can't get a lot of people to come on, though, because that's what they fucking think. I can't get two of my major exes won't do the podcast because they cheated on me. But I'm like, dude, I don't give a shit. If it's a comedy podcast, we're just going to have fun.
Right.
And they won't do it, so...
But I also saw you've talked about people that you've been in relationships with or are in relationships with will listen to it and be like, I didn't know you were going to say that.
Oh, yeah, my boyfriend and I almost broke up after he listened to the first couple episodes because I was like, he loves having his butthole licked. And he was like, wow, didn't think you'd go there.
And yeah, exposed him to everybody. But part of what you guys represent is that nobody should be ashamed of what they like, especially women.
Sure, but people have to make that decision for themselves.
It's very true. That's why I try hard to like run things by people before I talk about their buttholes.
Yeah.
It's respectful, you know?
Right. You can't just expose people and be like, see, you're not embarrassed.
Yeah.
What won't he put up his ass? Like,
a broom, a shovel.
Give me a grocery list. It's all going up there.
I mean, yeah. Now people know what to get him for the holidays.
The Aneros. I highly recommend it.
I also just glossed over, you got dumped in a Panera Bread.
You glossed over the impetus for the entire podcast. Thanks, Matt.
What did you order?
It's the Panera Bread of it all that really got me.
Oh, really?
I couldn't go to Panera Bread for a while after that because I was scarred.
That's very nice.
I couldn't do it, but now I do. I go all the time.
Panera
really
Bread is where all my important life events happen because, in fact, and this is an exclusive.
First time we saw
so
another theater.
Well, that too, but then this past weekend, I learned that I could throw up fully standing without any splashback by vomiting into a toilet in a Panera
dun,
Bread.
Dun, dun. Wow.
That is impressive. Yay.
Right? Because, you know,
girls can do anything.
I needed to throw up, and I wasn't going to put my face close to a Panera Bread toilet. So I was like, you know what, girl? I bet if you just stand really straight, there will be no splashback. I'm only 5'3". You know, I'm not working with a lot of room.
That's
right.
And I did it. Yeah. I didn't even get any on the toilet.
That's
what
like
the
some
fuck? You throw up like a model.
Fizzle.
I have a new talent.
Yeah, there was like calculations, mathematical equations that
I
had to go
blown
into.
Away.
Yeah.
If I wasn't
you don't need
so
no
hungover, I would have been way more impressed.
That just means the force of the vomit was enough to push it forward away from your body.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
So
that
it's
happened
like a
to
fountain.
Me.
I only vomit once. Projectile. I'm a lady.
Yeah. I love it.
Last time I projectile vomited was in a bathroom at a Wawa. It was after I ate pork tenderloin. My dad worked so hard cooking it. Aww. Don't eat pork. Felt bad. Ate it.
Ugh. I am very proud that I haven't thrown up since the first Obama administration.
What?
First
from
Obama
drinking?
Term. At all.
Oh,
I mean, the last
lucky.
Time I threw up was from drinking.
Uh-huh.
But that's the last time I threw up.
But that was
period.
A long time ago.
I always barf from drinking.
5 years.
I barf. My body is like.
Barf all the time. Barf all
reaction
time.
To anything is to throw up. Like, oh, you fell? Throw up. I don't know why.
You got a vibrator on your clit? Throw up.
Yeah, it just that's how it gets rid of toxins.
Yeah, you're like the dinosaur from Jurassic Park. It's just a way of like expelling your enemies.
Yeah.
And alerting
the
world.
Oh yeah, the dickhead with the fucking glasses, the Seinfeld guy.
Yeah,
Newman. Sprayed in the face. Newman deserved it.
Newman got fucking vomited on. I am curious your experience doing comedy and because. So there's, you know, this trope of people like Amy Schumer being like, I am labeled a sex comic, but you're just talking about what men are talking about
right.
all the time.
Right.
Slut shaming, it's just not any different than in other communities. The only thing that like one thing about being a woman is like you get reminded that you're a woman all the time. So getting brought up on stage like this next comic could make babies. I'm like, oh my God, go fuck yourself. That is the only.
Yeah. Every guy who performs comedy has only met like 3 women.
I know.
And they don't want
like
to
miss
introduce
their mom.
Them.
It's an easy way to feel really pretty is to walk into a room full of male comics and they're like, yeah, that girl's gorgeous. And you're just like, you have tits and that's it. That's all you
right,
need.
Right. I've seen like a few comedy shows, especially in LA, where there's always like one woman as part of the lineup. And I'm like, it sucks for her that all of this pressure now is like, you, if you suck, now everyone's going to be like,
Yeah. We saw a show, Craig and I saw a show the first time we were in LA together, and it was like a 3-hour long stand up show. It was hilarious. The only person I didn't like was the one chick on the bill. And I was like, this is why people think women are like, when they say, I don't think women are funny, it's because of situations like that. Because people can't step out of their own brain and go, that woman doesn't equal every other woman.
Right.
Well, you like, can't just
no
give
one's
us
creative.
The choice of one person either, because comedy, yeah. like, just comedy in general, like, everyone in the audience isn't going to like every type of comedy. And if everyone's laughing at a joke, I'm always like, that joke probably sucks. Like,
yeah.
Right.
Comedy is specific. It speaks to you on its level. That's why all comedians don't work for everybody.
Right.
That's why a comedian can't, like, most comedians are never going to get, like, U2 famous because they're never going to get that generic. Another thing that I hate that everyone likes, U2. What is that?
When they did the album on the iPhone, and I was like, yo, this is fucking ridiculous. I was one of those assholes. I got so mad, and I was like, just delete the songs
no, it was
off your
like,
fucking iPhone.
It was like someone came into your house
it
and
was?
Like left a U2 album on your kitchen table. And
my,
it's like, no,
and
I don't
like,
want you in my
house.
How
dare you?
Yeah, my roommate in college, her favorite band was U2. And I was like,
oh,
are you a cyborg? Like, what?
Not even.
I've never heard
not
anyone
even.
Say that.
You each do stand up also, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? This research didn't go
damn,
past their names?
Damn, dude. Sorry, I don't do like 8 spots a night, but yes, I've been doing stand-up for 7 years.
You've been doing stand-up almost exactly the same amount of time, yeah.
That's what I thought, but for a second
it's
I was
nowhere
like,
online.
Wait.
Well, I don't put any clips online. I'm very private about my stand-up unless you're at the show.
Right.
Only because I just don't want it online.
Which is, yeah, I think that's a good thing.
I guess. It's probably not good for marketing.
What is your like worst audience experience?
We had an audience in Vancouver, Canada. We did a live show and these 3 dudes came up on stage for a segment that's really fucking fun and funny if the person
if
like
people
just
from Vancouver aren't
it.
Participating.
Yeah, exactly. And the guy like threw a gift card at like we gave him a gift card at the end and then because he won or lost whatever. And then he threw it and I was like, I hate you. Like, I hope you die. And I said that. I said, I hope you die. And then I felt bad about that. But that was a worse audience for sure.
My worst audience, though, I think besides that, I'm going to go second Christine on that. But then once I was hired to do a private Valentine's Day dinner show for people. They were an American, and that's not the problem. But there was like a lost in translation problem.
Uh-huh.
So it was just like a very... and.
different culture, and they were just all staring at me, and like I was giving them my best jokes. And then at a certain point, when you're bombing with like jokes that you know are well written and you worked so hard on, I was like, I'm not gonna let them like slaughter my babies in front of me, basically. So yeah. I just started making fun of people
and they loved
that
it.
Were at the dinner.
Or they didn't understand it.
No, and then they loved it, and they tried to hire me again following year. But it was truly like the most traumatic 30 minutes of my stand-up.
30-minute set?
Because it was just so hard, and grasping for straws. Like, I worked way too hard for that, you know, $75 and plate of steak or whatever the fuck I was getting paid in.
Right.
You know, to do ever put myself in that situation again.
Yeah.
And they, because they just, I don't know, some people just love when you just say mean things to their face.
Yeah.
Some people hate it, though.
And I really didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't get
and
it.
You have no idea until you're in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Oh, I've said some awkward things to audience members. I'm like, ooh, sorry.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys experience this, but I feel like because people know you also as podcast hosts and they feel like they're part of the conversation and you're friends with them, that they have conversations. Yeah. They like will talk to one another during your show. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Like this isn't a podcast. I can hear you. We've said right. I can hear you to so many people in the audience.
Yeah. I think it was Corinne who said in an interview that nothing surprises you anymore.
I mean, I probably did say that. I wouldn't be surprised if I said that.
So that's the only thing that surprises her.
What is the most surprising thing that someone has said?
Someone has said to me, oh, God.
That's a great question,
like,
Matt.
Either as a write-in or someone comes up to you and says something.
I mean, I guess the most thing, this was not something that someone wrote into the podcast, but the recent case in France where they ruled that 11-year-old girl could consent to sex. I mean, I guess that surprised me a little bit because that was like a government.
Yeah.
I was like, that maybe a little bit. Yeah, I mean, well, because I have this thing where I have Christina, I don't know how to use computers, and Christina set my Google search up to me, but when she set it up for the Google to be the homepage, for some reason the word girl was in the search engine bar. So now when I go to my Google page, it's always articles about girl, and they're always the most terrible things that could ever happen. So now I just read articles that if you Google girl will come up. The France thing was one of them. And then another thing was like this guy was punishing his 3-year-old daughter for not drinking milk. And what he did was at 3 a.m, he made her stand in the backyard by a tree.
Yeah.
15 minutes later, and think of how long 15 minutes is for a 3-year-old. He went out to get her and she was missing and she's still missing.
Yeah,
so,
I just
like,
read that.
She ran away from her horrible-ass
Those
dad.
Were surprising things
God,
to me.
Damn.
I mean, I guess I still, that's the most surprising.
I can't believe that story.
It's just you like, read it. I was like, what?
A three-year-old.
Number one, why is a 3-year-old up at 3 a.m. drinking milk? So that's that. I mean, but it has to get so fucked up now for me to even be like a little bit like, huh.
Right.
And that's sad.
Yeah. Let's see. What direction do I want to go in? What about most embarrassing things? Are you embarrassed yourself anymore about anything? Is there anything truly that embarrasses
you? I've embarrassed
you?
Myself so many times in front of people. Which is great. I'm fearless.
As like a comedian, I think it's getting comfortable being just in a complete like embarrassing mode and just being like, well.
Bombing is, I just recently watched this special about stand-up comedy. It was on iTunes. You can rent it on, I forget what the fuck it's called, but it's new. It's black and white and it has people like Chris Rock, Jerry Seinfeld.
I watched that.
Amazing. And they were talking about bombing and they're like, this one comic was like, the day I got the call that my mother died wasn't nearly as bad as every time I bomb. And I was like, that,
God.
I feel it like kills your soul a little bit, but it's so good for you. Like it's so I'm like, once you can bomb in front of a room full of strangers with like your words, it's truly a rejection of who you are as a person. And it's nice.
Right.
It's grounding, you know?
Yeah.
See, I don't feel uncomfortable bombing at all.
And I do now.
But that's
great.
That's good.
I mean, sometimes if I hate the audience, I will try to bomb, which I think is an art in and of itself because I'm like, you don't deserve these.
Right.
And I'm going to keep them.
Right.
But I mean, you know, of course, every now and then there's a gig where if you bomb, it's like, it's heartbreaking. Like,
there's still a couple
big gigs that I always get. Like, I did Risk recently and I was very nervous to do that.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it's like you get one shot. What are you going to do if it sucks? Then, you know, I don't know.
I feel the most pressure at things like festivals where there's all of these other comedians and things. And,
yeah. It's much worse to, I think it's much worse to bomb in front of a comedian you admire than, like, I'd rather bomb in Madison Square Garden with just a bunch of people who really don't know anything about comedy rather than, like, one, like, David Tell being there.
Right.
I'd much rather.
Oh, I bombed in front of a Tell once. That was one of the most embarrassing moments of my life. That's how I met him, so it was good.
All right, final question before we'll move into a game. I want to talk about your book. So you have a book called Fucked.
Yes.
Being sexually explorative and self-confident in a world that's screwed.
Oh,
it comes out the same day as my book.
I know.
It's all that.
But everybody should go on and pre-order both of our books.
Yeah.
Everything is awful.
Oh, we should do a bundle.
Yeah.
That'd be cute.
Bundle it up.
Should.
It could be right now if you go to my page. Not that I check it every day, but if you go to my page, the suggested one of people that buy it together is Hillary Clinton's book.
Dude, I just picked that up at the airport, and damn, it's a good book.
Yeah,
I gotta say.
Oh, I've cried my way through it.
I've laughed and cried. I'm only 20 pages in.
Yeah. But yeah, if people pre-order both, then your book will be the one, and vice versa, that shows up at the bottom.
Step down, but yeah. Sure, do that.
No.
Finger butthole.
I mean, Fucked could also have been the title of Hillary's memoir.
Indeed.
Let's be real.
Yes, it could have.
Yeah. Okay, we have a quick game of Who Would You Rather?
Do?
Yes.
I love these games.
Very straightforward.
Oh, okay.
Let's get into it. Dan Savage or Jon Favreau?
Dan Savage. Oh, both, though.
I don't even know what Jon Favreau looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dan Savage is hot, though.
So hot. Oh, so muscly.
Michael Che or Colin Jost?
Colin Jost. I hate Michael
Neither?
Che, and he knows this.
He doesn't have very, or he has a lot of passionate detractors.
Yeah,
that's a great way to put it. That's a beautiful, kind way to put it.
It might be a fabricated hate, but I don't know. He just, he's blah.
No, I would agree.
You know what? Both of them at the same time.
Sure. That's diplomatic.
That'd be fun.
Right. Yeah. Why choose?
Yeah. Why choose if you can't
both? There's enough. Yeah. Mark Maron or Bob Saget?
Oh, Mark Maron.
Bob Saget.
I'm in love with Mark Maron.
Ooh, we have a difference of opinion.
We usually do.
We don't. We had
a photo shoot earlier. That's why we don't usually do fake eyelashes just to do podcast stuff. This photographer came in and right away, Corinne was like, "You probably think he's hot," but she didn't say that to me, and I was like, "I think he is very hot."
I could tell.
We never liked the same dude
because he was very Mark Maron-y.
No, not that. My boyfriend's very Mark Maron-y, a little less bitchy and whiny, but I love Mark Maron.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
John Oliver or Trevor Noah?
Oh, Trevor Noah. I met him. He's the hottest person in the world.
And his stand-up is really good, which was so surprising because he's so hot. And with
dimples.
That accent, you don't need to write jokes.
Dimples.
But he still did. Yeah. And that was really nice of him. Oh.
He's one of the, I get like angry.
I can't even think about him.
Yeah.
When I met him at the SNL party, he was in a leather fucking jacket. Great style. It was a beautiful leather jacket. He was gorgeously dressed. And I was like, I can't talk to you. I gotta go. And I left. I was like, I can't. I'm sorry. You're too hot.
That's appropriate. That's
beautiful
the appropriate
man.
Reaction.
Beautiful man.
So hot.
Jeb or George W?
I don't know what Jeb's face looks like.
They both suck. But
it's just the same face. It's the same face.
I would want George W. to paint me.
I think I would just...
But I wouldn't want to fuck him.
I think I would just stop having sex.
Yeah, I would call it a celibacy.
Jeb is hotter, but I would just never have sex again.
Fair.
Well, I just wouldn't fuck a bush.
Yeah, I couldn't either. You know what? If I was going to fuck a bush, it would be Jenna.
Bora?
I would make my first woman
she had
sex
that nip slip.
Jenna.
I would just fuck a bush.
They like fucking actually
I would
thorny
a
bush.
Shrub.
The shrub, yeah.
Yeah.
Judge Judy or Judge Jeanine Pirro? Do you know
Jeanine
her?
Jeanine Pirro is super sassy. I feel like
Judge
she'd be
Judy,
good
my
with her
boyfriend.
She's
is
also like
with her.
The devil incarnate.
Oh.
I kind of like that.
She's like a Fox News crony.
I'd have sex with Judge Judy, videotape it, and give it to my boyfriend for Hanukkah.
Wow.
And he really actually wants to have sex with Judge Judy.
Really?
100%.
That's alarming.
There's some picture of her in like a bikini on a boat. And
you got to give that to James.
She's keeping it.
Yeah, good for her. Tucked. She's rich as fuck. Yo.
She also,
Those
I mean,
TV
I think
shows?
She could have her head removed and put on like a 13-year-old's body. By the way, this is the Judge Judy photo.
Whoa.
Look at this.
She looks like a Long 90. Island bitch.
I
love it.
That cover-up is amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
There was like a team of children that sewed this directly onto her body. also.
It's not even a bikini. It's just like half.
On that note, where can people find you both and your work?
Great question.
Podcast is everywhere. Podcasts are Spotify, SoundCloud, iTunes, all that stuff. Our social media, our duo is our we have a comedy duo. It's called Sorry About Last Night. And SRY About Last NYT is that Twitter handle. Mine is Christina Hutch, but it's with two Y's and a K because mom got creative. Right.
And on my social media, Instagram, Twitter, is a philanthropy gal.
Awesome. And we'll put links to everything in the description.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks for coming. And we're going to blast the AC because it's 1,000 degrees in here and we're all sweating off our
$200 makeup.
Matt, your eyelashes look fantastic.
Yeah, yours
Thank
are great.
You. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
All right, we're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. I had a shit week, so I definitely need a solid chaser, the thing at the end of the week that helps all of the bad stuff go down easy. Barry, do you have a chaser?
I do have a chaser.
What is it?
I don't know if you know, but the Star Wars trailer came out.
I saw
that
it came out. I didn't watch it.
I watched it. This is not, my chaser is not the Star Wars trailer, although obviously excited. My chaser this week is to Oscar Isaac's eyebrows.
Yes.
It was they were just in the trailer for a second, but I was just like, every time. Just Oscar love his eyebrows. They
Isaac's
got me
everything.
Yeah. But those eyebrows and his everything got me through Show Me a Hero, which otherwise not a good show. They got me through breakups, through makeups, through thick and thin.
There's some great bushy eyebrows.
What's your chaser this week, Matt?
My chaser this week is for the act of sitting around your apartment in a robe or kimono. Or a bath towel. I love just sitting after a shower, putting on my warm robe or the beautiful kimono that Barry got me.
Oh, thanks, Matt.
For my birthday. And reading. I just like sitting in a nice comfy chair and reading, dangling out. Just with the breeze brushing against my butthole while I read.
What position do you read in?
Missionary. I have been trying to read more also,
same.
Which I feel like is very, it's nice to read a book and not watch the news or scroll through Twitter.
Yeah.
And just have like a peaceful read. Mm-hmm. I read the trashy Dan Brown
book. I was
book
going to
that
ask if that's what you were reading.
That I talked about, I think it was the very first episode of Unhappy Hour.
Yes.
My chaser was the Dan Brown book that came out. I read it in like a day. It was fine. Also, may I suggest you buy a personalized fan? I got this from Amazon. Just a battery-powered fan that you turn on. And I just set it down and I have a nice cool breeze brushing against my face while the natural breeze brushes against everything else. And that's our show. Thank you for listening to Unhappy Hour. You can head to Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get the show. Hit subscribe, rate us, review us, leave us a nice glowing review. Tell me how much you love my sultry voice whispering in your ear every single week. The show is where we let our hate out, but the reviews are where you let the love out. You can see this podcast live at the Green Space on October 25th in New York City for the extra special live podcast reporting / book launch party extravaganza. Get your tickets on the Green Space. The link for tickets will be in the episode description. Come watch me sweat in person. You can also find us on Spotify and Stitcher and all the places where podcasts are. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Media. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Jenna Weiss-Berman, Josh Gwynn, and me, Matt Bellassai. Special thanks to Max Linsky, Jess Hackle, and this week's sponsor, Wink. Music by Hansdale Sue. You can find me on all the social medias at Matt Bellassai. You can pre-order my book, Everything is Awful, and other observations. You can buy tickets to see me on tour at everythingisawfulbook.com. That's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye. Vocal fry. Looking for a better way to get up out of bed instead of getting on the internet and checking into it and get up.
Makes me really sad that you know all of that.
Makes me kind of happy.
That's good.
Return of the Mac. Return of the Mat.